You found the Viceroy Great Books podcast. Welcome. We think Christian men of all flavors can pull insights from historical writers about how to govern more and govern well, so the king gets max glory. To start, we will explore Marcus Aurelius' Meditations. Now, he was a pagan emperor, Roman emperor. We know that. We know he was pagan, but that doesn't stop us. We think that there's some real treasure here. We'll follow that with a 15th century monk theologian Thomas Aquinas, The Imitation of Christ. We plan to chunk and chew it, bit by bit. sub-20-minute episodes. And your host, both of us, two old friends, will do our best to contextualize and make commentary about how it can apply to us today. We'd love it if you'd join us. You're welcome to more resources at theviceroyproject.com, where you can find out more about how to join the Viceroy community, where we meet together on an app. Take care. All right, welcome to another episode of our studies on Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. This is a Viceroy Great Books podcast. We're going to start by looking here in episode 7. This is the start of book 2, and we're going to do just the first half of book 2. We've seen that Aurelius has gone through and recognized and hat tipped to everybody who was a big influence on his life. And now we're going to get into his actual meditations on what he thinks is true of the world. The emperor says, "Begin the morning by saying to thyself, I shall meet with the busybody, the ungrateful, arrogant, deceitful, envious, unsocial. All these things happen to them by reason of their ignorance of what is good and evil. But I, who have seen the nature of the good, that it is beautiful, and of the bad, that it is ugly, and the nature of him who does wrong, that it is akin to me not only of the same blood or seed, but that it participates in the same intelligence and the same portions of the divinity. I can neither be injured by any of them, for no one can fix on me what is ugly, nor can I be angry with my kinsman, nor hate him. For we are made for cooperation, like feet, like hands, like eyelids, like the rows of the upper teeth and lower teeth. To act against one another, then, is contrary to nature, and it is acting against one another to be vexed and to turn away." That was point one. Mm-hmm. Point two. And then we'll pause. "Whatever this is that I am, it is a little flesh and breath and the ruling part. Throw away thy books, no longer distract thyself. It is not allowed, but as if thou was now dying, despise the flesh. It is blood and bones and network, a contexture of nerves, veins, and arteries. See the breath also, what kind of thing it is, air, and not always the same, but every moment sent out and against sucked in. The third, then, is the ruling part. Consider thus. Thou art an old man. No longer let this be a slave. No longer be pulled by the strings like a puppet to unsocial movements. No longer be either dissatisfied with thy present lot or shrink from the future." Okay.
All right.
Let's just pause there and say that's what the emperor said. Mm-hmm. And what are our takeaways? What do we notice here?
Well, first and foremost, he opens the first section, "When you wake up in the morning, tell yourself." And he's talking to himself.
Yeah.
I mean, Aurelius is like, "Hey, Aurelius, remember, there's some things you need to keep in mind."
Yes.
This is very much King David in the Psalms telling his soul what to do.
That's right.
You know, so good practice to be like, we have to remind ourselves what's good.
Yes.
So I love that.
Yeah, and he also sort of assumes you're going to meet with all sorts of vexing people in a given day. Know it, be aware, prepare thyself, and then know that their bad attitude and their all of those things that annoy him, they don't have to touch him or impact his sort of frame of mind, his mindset.
That's right. That's right. He even says, you know, they'll be meddling, ungrateful, arrogant, dishonest, jealous, and surly. But then he goes on to say, but they also possess a share of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, just as much as they're going to drive you bananas, they are there to actually bring something good out of you.
That's right. And the best you can hope to do is some sort of cooperation, mm-hmm. right? To act against one another is contrary to nature. So try and get along. Mm-hmm. Basically, get your mind right and just deal with people and try and get to some sort of productive outcome.
Did you see, too, how he had some of that St. Paul body imagery in here? Like,
totally.
Like, I mean, he's talking about the state. Of course, Paul's talking about the church.
Right.
But, I mean, it's right there. We work together like feet, hands, and eyes, like the two rows of teeth, upper and lower.
Yep.
Interesting.
All right. So part two is where he gets into sort of the physical self and breath. So we're talking body, soul, spirit stuff.
Yes.
And then he starts to counsel himself then as an old man.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes. He's getting into like soul governance now.
Yes.
Like, think of it this way. You're an old man. Stop allowing your mind to be a slave, to be jerked about by selfish impulses, to kick against fate in the present, and to mistrust the future. He's telling himself, you've got to make these choices, man.
Yeah.
And you've got to make them every day. When you wake up, make these choices. You're not going to be pulled back and forth, you know, tossed about like the chaff in the breeze. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, and he talks about this ruling part, about governance over himself. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, let's get into, you want to go ahead and do section 3 and 4?
Yeah, all right, I'll read those. Section 3, what is divine is full of providence. Even chance is not divorced from nature, from the interweaving and enfolding of things governed by providence. Everything proceeds from providence. And then there is necessity and the needs of the whole world, of which you are a part. Whatever the nature of the whole does, and whatever serves to maintain it, is good for every part of nature. The world is maintained by change in the elements and in the things they compose. That should be enough for you. Treat it as an axiom. Discard your thirst for books, so that you won't die in bitterness, but in cheerfulness and truth, grateful to the gods from the bottom of your heart. Hmm. All right, part 4.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how long you've been putting this off, how many extensions the gods gave you, and you didn't use them. At some point, you have to recognize what world it is that you belong to, what power rules it, and from what source you spring, that there is a limit to the time assigned you, and if you don't use it to free yourself, it will be gone and will never return.
Hmm. I kind of thought of these two sections as contentment in the first section mm-hmm. and as stewardship of limited time in that next section.
Yes.
Anything else jump out?
This is the second time he's mentioned kind of not getting distracted by books. So my question here is like, why?
I wish we had more people who had that problem.
I know, but is this like, so is this where the rhetoric comes in, where he's studying the wrong things, or poetry where he's being distracted by entertainment
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, I don't know, but that's a fascinating statement. He's made it twice now. Like,
yeah.
Get rid of the books. Get your head up.
And it's strange because he clearly has a high regard for education and he's clearly a man of letters.
Yes.
So it does seem strange for him to be swiping at it. So I wonder if there was in his courts or wherever he was that he seemed to value and prize men of action more mm-hmm. than bookworms or people who had their heads in the cloud. Maybe he right. thinks of that there's a bifurcation in the world of men that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, I'll pick up 5 and 6 here. Every moment think steadily as a Roman and a man to do what thou hast in hand with perfect and simple dignity and feeling of affection and freedom and justice, and to give thyself relief from all other thoughts. And thou will give thyself relief if thou doest every act of thy life as if it were the last, laying aside all carelessness and passionate aversion from the commands of reason, and all hypocrisy and self-love, and discontent with the portion which has been given to thee. Thou seest how few the things are, that which if a man lays hold of, he is able to live a life which flows in quiet and is like the existence of the gods. For the gods on their part will require nothing more from him who observed these things. Do wrong to thyself, my soul. But thou wilt no longer have the opportunity of honoring thyself. Every man's life is sufficient, but thine is nearly finished, though thy soul reverences not itself, but places thy felicity in the souls of others. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got a little tongue-tied there on a section of it. He's sort of thumping his chest a bit to say, stand up here and be a Roman and be a man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Freedom, justice, focus on only those things, and act of thy life as though it were the last. Doest every act of thy life as though it were thy last. So basically, go hard.
Yes.
Be about it.
Right.
Jump in.
And on freeing yourself from all these distractions, I think he's saying, hey, it's your job to kill the little foxes.
Right.
You've got to do that. He says over in the next section, when talking about your life is almost up, treating it with respect, you have entrusted your own happiness to the souls of others. He is saying, do not delegate your soul care.
Hmm.
Like, you've got to do this.
Hmm.
You can't trust other people to kill the foxes for you. You've got to be the one who thinks, I've only got so many days. I've got these people that I care for. I've got the providence that gods have given me. I've got to make use of this. I cannot delegate my soul care to anyone else.
That's
which made me think a lot about the difference between like soul care and in our modern day, the love of self-care.
Yep.
Very different.
It is different.
It's so different. We don't have time to get into that, but that's a whole other episode.
No, there's entire industries related to self-care.
Mm-hmm.
I also like where he says, do wrong to thyself. Do wrong to thyself. You can injure and put down the bits of yourself and your soul that must be put down. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. All right.
And the wounds of a friend.
Yes.
Yeah, the wounds of a friend.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. All right. You want to do 7 and 8?
All right. Do external things distract you? Then make time for yourself to learn something worthwhile. Stop letting yourself be pulled in all directions, but make sure you guard against the other kind of confusion. People who labor all their lives but have no purpose to direct every thought and impulse toward are wasting their time, even when hard at work.
Hmm.
Number 8, ignoring what goes on in other people's souls, no one ever came to grief that way. But if you won't keep track of what your own soul's doing, how can you be happy?
Solid counsel here. I just wrote down in my margins here, for those two are triflers who have wearied themselves in life by their activity and yet have no object to which to direct every movement and, in a word, all their thoughts. I just wrote, in the hustle and bustle, these live undirected lives.
It's also kind of refreshing to realize that this guy who lived so long ago in a completely other world was having to kind of yell at himself, hey,
pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention. Quit being distracted. We talk about distractibility being such a modern problem. And
yes.
Here it is. Like, he's literally yelling at himself and being kind of rude about it.
Maybe he was too much in the books that he was always having to tell himself, put the books down.
Well, it also kind of makes me wonder if, like, right before he wrote all this, did he make a mistake? Did he miss something?
Right.
Did somebody slip out the door and he was just like, dadgum, I should have caught that.
You know? Yep. I also like that he keeps sort of chastising himself about, you're an old man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Section 9 and 10. This thou must always bear in mind. What is the nature of the whole and what is my nature, and how is this, and how this is related to that, and what kind of a part it is of what kind of a whole, and that there is no one who hinders thee from always doing and saying the things which are according to the nature of which thou art a part. Okay. 10. Theophrastus, in his comparison of bad acts, such a comparison as one would make in accordance with the common notions of mankind, says, like a true philosopher, that the offenses which are committed through desire are more blameable than those which are committed through anger. For he who is excited by anger seems to turn away from reason with a certain pain and unconscious contraction, but he who offends through desire, being overpowered by pleasure, seems to be in a manner more intemperate and more womanish in his offenses. Rightly, then, and in a way worthy of philosophy, he said that the offense which is committed with pleasure is more blamable than that which is committed with pain, and on the whole the one is more like a person who has been first wronged and through pain is compelled to be angry, but the other is moved by his own impulse to do wrong, being carried towards doing something by desire. Okay.
That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
I mean, we're just talking about crimes of passion versus sociopathology.
Right. So let me go back up to section 9.
Yeah.
That little section there, I just wrote, discerning the real structure of things, this is understanding.
Yeah.
To understand, not to be so focused on the small part, but understanding the reality of the things.
Big picture.
The big picture. Yeah. And then this stuff about Theophrastus, like a true philosopher, okay, he says the offenses which are committed through desire are more blamable than those which are committed through anger. It's sort of like you were just saying, there's some sort of angry, the switch gets flipped, crime of rage, a fit of rage, and it's like reason gets clicked off.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not as bad as some action that comes out of the desire and emotions.
Yeah. I shot the man to protect my family versus I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, when I read this, I thought, there's not a lot for me to take away from this.
Yeah.
Because this is a pagan Roman trying to understand through a philosopher the nature of good, bad, right, and wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that there's a lot for me to put in my back pocket and take down the road.
Yeah.
We have a better teacher than that in our scriptures and in the Christ.
Well, we're also not in the position to kill people frequently.
No.
And I think he was. So
a lot of his
judgments had to do with life and death, and he's like, hey man, sometimes you're just gonna have to do it because it's the right thing, but definitely don't do it just because you want to.
Right.
You know?
He had a different level of decision making power than I do, or it affected people in a different way. Probably a much greater way. Okay, good episode. Take care.